Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, hello. This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente. And you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on DirtySouthSucker.com. Yole!
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now, bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC.
Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eels.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
They'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go.
What is up, Atlanta? Flying solo on this post-game show as we're watching Atlanta United take down Real Salt Lake in Utah 3-1 on this Saturday night. A beautiful way to end the evening in Atlanta, especially for those at Fidel Irish Pub, at Brew House, at all the other bars and restaurants where they are showing and they are having Atlanta United watch parties. It's good to have you aboard, and I'm glad to be talking about a win right now. I'm glad that what we're looking at is – oh, you know what? You guys might actually be hearing the game. Hold on. Let me fix that. But it's good that we're talking about a win right now. Give me 2 seconds. Sorry, guys. Just technical difficulties. I was watching the end of the game myself, and the game ended way before or way after I thought it would. That should be better. But, yeah, good to be talking about a win tonight. Good to be talking about Atlanta United closing out a game, you know, especially after what happened in Montreal, where they give up the not only the late goal in the first half, or the PK in the first half, they also give up the game winner for Montreal late in the second half, and that's how the story ended in Montreal. And they go into Real Salt Lake, score two goals, you know, in the midst of regulation, then get the one at the very end to seal the deal, as Real Salt Lake had already, you know, kind of decided to go with the back three, and they were going to try to, you know, get at least get the draw, possibly a win. But good for Atlanta United. It looked a little fishy there at the end. It looked a little I was a little nervous. If you want to know what anxiety feels like, for those that don't feel anxiety on a regular basis, if you don't know the score, go watch the last 15 minutes of that Atlanta United Real Salt Lake match, because it was nerve-wracking. Atlanta United, for some reason, lost every skill I guess they had in terms of how they could pass the ball and whatnot. But ultimately, the win is a win. They come out of this road trip, this four-game road trip, with 5 points, 2 draws, 1 win, 1 loss. It's a great way to go on the road, go on this first road trip for a club, for a brand new expansion team. It's a great way to show MLS, you know, we're the real deal. It was the way they scored these goals today were ugly. They look, from the outset, they look ugly. From beyond, you know, they look ugly in the sense, especially if you don't understand the tactics. But because Atlanta United like to play this high press style of soccer, they like to play this, you know, we want to be on your butt all game. That's exactly how they scored the goals. Two bad passes from Raimondo turned into goals. It should have been 4-0 at the very least. Could have been 5-1, sorry, to finish the game. And ultimately, there were two big opportunities that Villalba just missed. I think that the first one where he's trying to get around the keeper, he might have probably could have shot before he tried to get around Raimondo in the middle. And then there was a second one where it's 3-on-4-on-1 or whatever it is. And Villalba throws this pass in that, you know, it's a weird decision in terms of the pass, because it's not on the ground. It's not really high enough to head. It's in between. And that's not easy for guys that don't know it's coming. If you want to get on the postgame show, 713-955-0722. Again, that's 713-955-0722. We're taking your calls for the next hour about 12:30-ish. We can go a little longer if we want, but that is the time allotted right now. Supposed to be joined by one of my co-hosts at some point to discuss the game, but we want to get your thoughts. So again, 713-955-0722. Ultimately, it's I don't care how they played. It's a road win. And in MLS, you see teams like Portland who went all of last year without a road win. So those things happen. And we went on the road. We went on this big road trip and got 5 points out of 4 games, which is pretty good. It's not bad. It could have been worse. The team was really excited if they could get – they would have been fine with 4 points, a draw every game, maybe one win, 2 losses, and a draw. They would have been excited for 4 points by itself. And instead they got 5. I thought they could have gotten a little – maybe a little more. That Montreal game kind of, you know, did a disservice to how this road trip went. But at the same time, Atlanta United didn't really finish their chances in that game. And in this game, you saw moments where they took advantage of the mistakes made by Real Salt Lake, which is going to be a good staple, a good calling card for this team. It's going to be one of the ways they win games, score goals, all that good stuff. Bijot by getting the first goal. He didn't have a great game. I will give him credit for that one goal, but he didn't have a great game. You know, he made his decisions with some of his passes were not great. I mean, he did a better job on the wing than I think he's used to doing or than we've seen previously. I think he's starting to get accustomed to playing on the wing on this team specifically in Tata Martino style. But the big two chances that he missed were big, were huge. And I know I'm – it's funny because we're talking about a win. So 3-1 win was the final score, 3-1. And I'm talking about the negatives here. And I'll get to the positive in a second, but it's good to get the negatives out of the way early. So the passing in the final 15 minutes was crap, for lack of a better word. It was not good. They seemingly couldn't get out of their half outside of the goal by Vasquez there at the end. And every time they cleared the ball, it wasn't a great clearance. It was like a half-hearted clearance. And it would result with the midfielders having to drop back or the forwards having to drop back and trying to play it off to someone. And that pass, that specific pass, is not the clearance, but it's the pass after the clearance that was seemingly bad. But that could have been avoided. That scenario of trying to not, waste time the last 15 minutes. And I tweeted this out earlier or later in the match, but it seemed like, especially with those last 15 minutes, Tata Martino took notes, recorded the class, and rewatched the video over and over and over of that Red Bulls game, that first Red Bull game. And he specifically said after that match that the final 15 minutes the ball wasn't played. And it seems as though in the final 15 minutes of this match, Atlanta was doing everything they could to slow the game down. I don't know how many yellows Alec Can has accumulated so far. And I have to look up the exact rule when it comes to how many you can accumulate before you have to sit out a game. But he's getting there, I think. He's close. There were also a few moments in that game where I thought, okay, I think Beckerman should have been sent off. Personally, I thought there could have been a number of yellow cards that could have been added to the stat sheet tonight. It's weird, this officiating in MLS. It seems to be going all against you, and then the next game it could be all for you. In this case, it seemed like Atlanta got away with the fouls that were called previously weren't called against Atlanta. Played the same way. They tackled the same way. But they didn't get the same kind of fouls called on them, which is a good thing, because either that means Atlanta United is adjusting to how MLS referees or how MLS referee officiate games, or someone had a talk with MLS officials, which I doubt that happened. But either way, we're talking about a 3-1 win, a goal from Villalba, a goal from Brandon Vasquez, and off the top of my head, I'm forgetting who the third goal or the second goal was from. Sorry, I'm doing a bunch of different things. But if you want to get in, 713-955-0722, that's the number to call in, 713-955-0722. It's a great way to end the road trip, as I said before. A fantastic way to end the road trip. It's a road trip. They can go into D.C. or they can come back to Atlanta and play in that D.C. United game with all that road trip, crap on their shoulders. All that's gone now. And they can just focus on being at home, playing D.C. United. They don't have to worry about going on the road next week, which is good. Because this team desperately needs a kind of a night off, a road trip off, if you will. They need to play at home. They've been on the road 4 weeks now, and it just seems like it's been too long. I'm trying to find who scored that second goal, because I cannot. I don't know why I can't. I can't find it anywhere, but 713-955-0722. 706, you're on the Mountains of South Podcast postgame show. What do you think of the match?
Yeah, it was a hard-fought match. I thought Atlanta United should have done a lot better finishing off their chances in the second half. It should have been, 4 or 5 goals to 1 at when it started getting crazy at the end there. But I still think they need to do a little bit better trying to kill off games and hold possession better. But, you can't argue with 3 points at the end of a long road trip.
Yeah, I agree. I think those leaving with 3 points, it was the big finishing this road trip, I think, was the big thing. Finishing this road trip and giving Atlanta United fans confidence in what they can do on these kind of in these kind of stretches in their schedule is going to be good, because they're going to have a few more of these, at least one more of these. And until they get to the end of the season where they have a bunch of games at home, which hopefully will happen. But if you had to pick a man of the match, who's that man of the match?
It's hard to say. All the attacking players had their moments, and they all had their lapses. I felt all of them had a couple of mistakes that could have led to goals. If I had to pick somebody out, I'd probably have to go with Miguel Almiron, just because he's usually always our best player and always our most effective. And I thought he did really well again tonight.
I agree. I thought the one player that I would give strong consideration to is Gonzalez Perez. I thought he had, again, another fantastic game. I think everyone sees why he was brought over onto this team. And it's a shame that the great run he had getting the ball front inside this box and running it basically all the way to midfield out to Villalba. It's a shame that didn't end up in a goal, because we could have attributed everything that goal was to what Perez does in the back, on that back line, and as how he organizes that defense as a whole. Him and Michael Parkhurst, I think, are just the strengths of this team right now.
Every time Perez makes those little runs from outside the back to beat 4 or 5 guys, I'm always waiting for him to mess up, but so far so good. And one of these days, hopefully it turns into something really good and it makes the highlight reel.
In your opinion, and this is Rob Ushery from Dirty South Soccer, managing editor, I wonder, you look at a guy like Villalba who, yeah, he scored, but he didn't, and it sounds very nitpicky, and I'm pretty biased in this aspect, but, he scores a goal that he's more or less in the right place at the right time, and the two big opportunities he had, he kind of fumbled by himself. It was either he didn't get a good shot off, or the pass was a weird pass that basically goes, it forces Assad, who isn't expecting a pass like that, to knock it over the bar. Is he a guy we need to see more out of, you think?
I think we just need to give him a little bit more time. It's only been 7 games. He scored 4 goals, and I think he has a couple assists. If you look at other players like him that have come into the league, like Varane in New York, and they haven't done as nearly as much in a couple of seasons, and you just got to give him a little bit more time to adjust to the league. And I think so far, I mean, he's contributed enough for me, but his decision-making is lacking a little bit, and I think we need to give him just a little bit more time before we start jumping on his back.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can see that. I think I have been, you know, looking back at the words I've written or have said about him, I've been harsh, but it's because I think I've seen so much good out of the rest of this team that you look at a guy like Vijalba and the speed he has, and I think I at least expect more. Maybe it's because I'm comparing him to the rest of the team, and it just so happens that the other DPs are shining as opposed to Vijalba, who, sure, he's got 4 goals, I think, at this point, but you know, his play in the run of play seems to be a little compared to everyone else. Let's go to 770. 770, you're on the Mazda South postgame show. What did you think of the match, 770?
I thought it was fantastic. Honestly, we got the result. You know, being on the road for a month is strenuous, and getting a win like that is very critical, you know, for us. I guess if there was one thing I could harp on, it seems to me that over the last couple of games, there's been a lot more turnovers in the midfield to defensive third. And it looks like we've gotten lucky on certain occasions, but that just seems like something that we really got to clean up, because getting away those balls in the back end is going to be kind of.
I think more than anything else, it's other teams figuring out how to play against Atlanta United. Because the first two games and kind of Minnesota was weird because obviously the snow, but against New York, against the Fire, we saw them putting together long strings of passes. And I'm fully convinced at this point, because we haven't really seen it since, I'm fully convinced at this point is because the teams have figured out how to play against Atlanta United, at least against their style, their version of the high press. You look at the last few games, and they haven't looked as comfortable playing out of the back. Not that I'm saying they look bad, they just haven't looked as comfortable. Other teams haven't made it as easy. You see a team like Real Salt Lake, who likes to do this high press, or like a different version of the high press, and it didn't look comfortable, and especially the last 15 minutes. Now, the last 15 minutes is weird because Atlanta United is just trying to, you know, close out the game. Real Salt Lake is pushing. I mean, again, they went to a back three, and they were just trying to push to get this to get the tying goal. I think ultimately that leads to, among other things, that leads to Atlanta United getting the third goal. But I think as we see this team improve and the chemistry continues to build, and you know, we start seeing this, especially the attacking players, gel more as the season goes along, you're going to see that continue to improve. But I mean, you're right. The passing just hasn't been as crisp. I don't think it's a product of anything. I don't think it's anything they're doing wrong. I think it's teams adjusting to the way Atlanta United plays. Now, Atlanta United is going to then have to adjust to how teams are now defending against them. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be an important thing that Tata Martino is going to have to figure out, because against good teams, and Real Salt Lake is a fine team. They get away more based off their, they get wins, they get results based off more off their talent than they do their tactics or their skill as a team. I would say the same out of Montreal. I think you don't have Nacho Piatti in that game, and you're looking at Atlanta United winning the game. But it's the way Atlanta United is going to have to, Atlanta United is going to have to adjust to how this league is now defending them. And I think they will, because they have quality players all across the field. And I think you can't just contain, they're going to figure out a way to break through a lot of the defenders, a lot of the defense that teams put up against them.
Oh, by the way, I thought it was the second goal, if you didn't figure that out.
Yeah, I finally looked it up. I don't know how I forgot, but Assad was the second goal. Vijalba with the first, Assad with the second, and Vasquez. Good on him, because he's jumping in and getting his goal in the final minutes to seal a game. He was in for 2 minutes, and he got 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or whatever, and he got his first goal in an Atlanta United uniform. Good for him. Big things for him. He's another one of those guys that's going to be the future of Atlanta United, I think. He's going to be a guy that Atlanta United is going to try to develop into the – watching him at practice one day, You don't really see it on TV. Maybe you do, but he's as tall as Kenwin Jones. So he's got the build of very much like Kenwin Jones. I don't think he's as stocky, but he's as tall as Kenwin Jones. So I don't know if there's any mentoring going on there, but I certainly think that would be a good idea. 713-955-0722 if you want to get it on the podcast and give us your thoughts on the post-game show. Mavs and South post-game show brought to you by Dirty South Soccer and CrossFit Vesuvio. But you can't argue with the result. The result was great. The result is exactly what we needed to see after two draws and a loss, and especially a result we wanted to see to end this road trip. Now they go to D.C. Now they come back to Atlanta, play D.C. United, who is another one of those teams where I think they get away. They have very, very talented players. Tactically, they're kind of a mess, but they do have very, very talented players and can you know, ruin your dreams if you let them. So while next week I would expect Atlanta United to win, especially since they're at home, they're going to be rejuvenated by the crowd, which I assume is going to be another sold out crowd, and they should get a win at home against DC United. Now, could DC United come back and win that game? Absolutely, because they have talented players that could do that for them. 803, you're on the Mountain South podcast post game show. What'd you think of the match?
Hey guys, Francisco from Aiken, South Carolina. A win that we needed. The players definitely needed a win. Even though it was a messy win, we didn't have the best game. I thought Kenwin Jones looked a little rough out there. Didn't seem to be with it all the whole game. And I thought Vijalba, I don't know what y'all think, but I thought Vijalba was a little selfish today, especially with that missed opportunity he had.
Two missed opportunities, I think. Going to Kenwin real quick, I think he's just a little disconnected right now. His role is unique to this team, especially with the way it was originally formulated by Tata Martino. Not so much Darren Eales and Carlos, but Tata Martino. He's not a Tata Martino signing, and therefore it has to kind of be plugged in where they can kind of fit him. And you can tell his role is very much a hold-up kind of player role. It's a target-forward role. It's the traditional getting the ball and play off of him type of role. And that seemed to be lacking. I think that's why a lot of the attack was missing today, or it's seemingly missing today. It just wasn't as proficient as we were used to seeing, I think I should say.
Yeah.
But
I agree. And he looked kind of lost there, but he's still trying to get used to the system. And before I want to shout out to Brandon Vasquez. What a way to come out at the end, and especially to play the whistle,
exactly.
Finish the play till it's over, and he just jumped on it and took advantage of it. It's a great win, great goal for him, and hopefully the start of something great with him.
Yeah, big goal by Brandon Vasquez. Let's keep the calls going. 770, you're on the Mavs South podcast on Dirty South Soccer. What did you think of the match?
I missed the beginning of the podcast. I don't know if y'all already talked about this or agree with it at all, but I think this is something that shows a lot of what the sport is, where in the other games on this away trip, we played much better than this. I mean, in my opinion, it wasn't even close. I feel like this was our worst performance of the road trip. You come out with 3 points when you played better in other games and lost points, but you know, they took advantage of the opportunity tonight. It just kind of shows that you've got to have the kind of players that can stay composed in those kind of situations. And we saw 3 goals tonight that came from turnovers from the other team, that we had composure. We finished when we could. We came away with 3 points on a poor performance when we maybe dropped points when we deserved it more in other matches.
I don't know if they play. They're not going to play beautiful soccer every week. I mean, Barcelona doesn't play beautiful soccer every week. Real Madrid doesn't play beautiful soccer every week. Real Madrid doesn't win every week. I mean, we're a good team. We're a good, talented team with good tactics behind us, and it's not always going to look great. I think that's the especially on the road. That's the thing you got to take away with some of these road games. It's not going to be pretty all the time. At home, you can expect it to be a little prettier because you have the crowd with you, and you've got the cheers going the cheers and boos going, against the ref as opposed to with the ref, whatever. You know what I mean? You have everything going with you at home. And so I think that it's okay to have tough performances on the road. I don't think it was a bad performance. I just think it looked a little disconnected in the attack, and we missed on opportunities we should have made. It should have been 4-0 before Real Salt Lake hit their first. I think that's the thing that bugs me more than anything is we miss on these golden opportunities, especially in the first half. And then we're trying to claw our way out in the second half. We're trying to, you know, make sure we don't have the last 15 minutes be as frenetic and as frantic as it was this game. If we capitalize on these two opportunities, this is a team that lost to Minnesota United, you know, 4-2, I think. It's a team that we should have beat handily, and ultimately 3-1 is going to look like a pretty solid defeat, but it didn't look the prettiest. I mean, I'm looking at I have to go back to one of Villalba's miss, where he gets around Romando and tries to left foot it into the corner and just completely seemingly whiffs it. You know, it's stuff like that. It's the pass that goes to Assad and Assad clears it over the bar because it's a weird pass in the box. It's not, again, it's not high enough to be a header. It's not low enough to be, it's not on the ground where it should be to finish a shot like that. I don't know what it may have been the only pass you could have played, but it was a weird pass. Not everyone. On top of that, the goal Vijadba scored, that is super much a product of luck, in my opinion. He's obviously in the right place at the right time. He's obviously in a good position. But he hits the keeper once. The rebound happens to hit him. He squares it up fine, and he puts it in the back of the net. But, you know, that could have gone a different way. And we're looking at not having scored a goal as early as we did, or not having scored a goal first. That's the difference to me, is that I want to see – it's a lot like the way the U.S. men's national team kind of scores goals sometimes, where it's more a product of luck than a product of building out the back. Now, I'm not saying this team is different, because it does do that. You see the building out of the back, the building through the midfield. You see how passes are strung together. I think the thing that really bothered Atlanta United tonight was the fact that Garza and Mears couldn't get as involved in the attack as they would like. And it's because of the formation Real Salt Lake plays, and it's because their wingers like to get up really high too. I call it suicidally high. Because if you lose the ball there, it's a counter, and it's a three-man backfield at that point, or back line at that point. If you want to get on the post-game show, 713-955-0722. Eric Quintana flying solo tonight. A couple of guys had a bunch of other stuff to do tonight, so I am taking your calls, getting your reactions. Brandon Vasquez, 18-year-old, first goal with Atlanta United. And to ice the game like that, I mean, the caller mentioned it before, he played through the whistle, did not stop. And I mean, we've seen that in MLS Cup games. I remember Portland Columbus a couple years ago. One of the goals scored was because I think Tony Chani just stopped playing because he thought the ball was out, whistle was never blown, goal gets scored. Brandon Vasquez proves he's a smart player. One of the things that bothered me before the game, and even during the game, and if you're listening and one of these people that had issues, please explain it to me, because this sounds like a you problem and not an Atlanta United, Fox Sports, CW69 problem. We had a ton of people tweeting in, talking about how they couldn't see the game, how the TV guide on their remote or on their TV said it was Atlanta United and it's boxing or whatever the hell it is. If you're not following the team, following the Dirty South Soccer, for example, and following all these outlets that tell you point blank where the game's going to be, where the game's going to be able to be viewed, where you can stream it online. If you're not paying attention to that, that's on you. If you're a cable cutter and have MLS Live and didn't know that blackouts are a thing, and it's not just MLS, it's every sport ever, at least in the United States. Blackouts are a thing. If you couldn't watch tonight because of any reason, that's on you. I don't have cable. I didn't even stream the game. I still watched it. But let's keep the calls going. 229, you're on the Mass South Podcast postgame show. If you want to get on the postgame show, 713-955-0722. 229, what'd you think of the match?
Hey, it's a road win, you know?
It is.
I was not, obviously, half the time in the game I'm yelling, you know, I thought our passing was sloppy. I thought there was several times where it was either Assad or Vialba. One of the two just would not pass it to Kinlan. I don't know if they didn't see the man or what, but pass it to Kinlan was something I yelled about 7,000 times. But the fact that our fan base has this much frustration in a 3-1 road win is a very good sign that our expectations are already so high.
When you look at all the negatives that we pick out of this game, again, exactly. in a 3-1 win, you know, it's 3-1 on its face is going to look like, oh, that was a solid win. You know, they got three goals. They only conceded one. That's a solid win. It's how they did it. You know, you have to actually watch the game to know. People locally are always going to know more about the team, the matches, the way they're playing than the national media. So I guarantee you people that put out on podcasts, you know, recaps, reviews or whatever of this this past match week, they're going to say 3-1 win for Atlanta, good win on the road, good win to end that road trip, all that stuff. But they didn't see how that game happened, or they didn't pay close enough attention to how that game happened, how that game progressed. And I agree with you. The passing, not great, especially in the last final 15 minutes. I thought that you're going to work on one thing this entire week, work on that. The passing in the last final 15 minutes, it seemed like they couldn't even get out of their defensive third. Bad clearances.
And we seemed a little flustered. We did. And yeah. It's a young team, I guess, but hey, we passed the road test though, you know. So I mean, even with all the ways we could nitpick, we still got the 3 points. It was nice to get the goal at the end, especially from the, you know, teenager. So I can't complain too much.
If you had to take away a man of the match from this game, who are you choosing?
I mean, who? Obviously, Almiron's always. I mean, he was probably my man of the match. They picked Carmona on the TV. I can't complain about that one either. And then both center backs played very well again. So
yep.
You could have picked about 4 or 5 different guys.
To me, it's Perez because the way him and Parker's organized that back line and the way Perez plays, even in the tightest of situations, it seems like he's just, there's no scenario that is too daunting for him. He could be on the goal line with the defender in front of him, and I'd feel confident in his ability to get out of that.
We about scored off of him doing that. I mean,
it's
he sprung about
no.
three different counterattacks.
It's a shame we didn't.
Yeah.
That should have been a goal. That's the one I think Vizalba either he tries to get around Raimondo, pulls it back inside, or it's the weird pass to Assad that goes over the bar.
That was
either
the
way.
One.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I haven't been high on Vizalba because of his play in the final third. He can get there. He can get into the box. He can get into dangerous positions. But once he's there, I don't think he has any idea what he's doing. I don't know if the moment is just too much or which is hard to believe because he's played in league in the Argentine league, and it just, I can't imagine the too much at that point. He just seems like a guy that is still trying to figure out what exactly his role is going to be and how he can best utilize his skills into the team to be productive in the final third.
Yeah, but it'll come. He's when you're as fast as he is and you got the guys around him who can pick out a pass like we can, he's going to have chances just because he's going to get in that spot over and over. So it's only going up.
It'll be interesting to see. Thanks for the call. It'll be interesting to see what Tata Martino says about this match because, again, it didn't look great, and especially at the end, it didn't look pretty at all. But it is a win. It's a 3-1 win for Atlanta United for the good guys, and it's fun to see this team seemingly improve week after week. This is the good thing about this match is that it seems like they improved from last week. Keep it simple. Let's not even say the first 5 games. But let's just say last week, because last week they didn't finish out the game. they didn't. It was almost. It was very similar to what sort of happened against. I mean, a little more dramatic last week, but in their first game against the Red Bulls at home, you know, they give late goal. They give them the two late goals, you know, to lose the lead and ultimately lose the game. And in Montreal, they sort of did the same thing, and they haven't really had an opportunity to go through that again. And in this game, when that opportunity happened, they found a way to score. It didn't look great. It didn't look pretty. It looked damn ugly all the time, to be honest. But they finished the game on a high note. They put the game away. 3-1 was the final, and we're talking about 3 points. Let me actually check the standings real quick. Because I know we were 5 points out of the lead, and depending on how some results finish tonight, it looks like we're going to finish fourth. We're going to be fourth in the Eastern Conference. I think before that we were sixth, and we're sitting with 11 points. And depending on how who's playing right now? I think Columbus and the Red Bulls are playing right now. Depending on how that game ends, it won't affect us, but we're looking at potentially being able to jump to second or third next week, assuming we get the win at home, which is great. I mean, we're at 11 points. We're 2 points off the top right now. Again, I'm pretty sure we have to wait until some of tonight's matches finish up. But could have started worse. I mean, for teams like Minnesota, actually, Minnesota's not in last, believe it or not. But it could have started much like Minnesota or much like other expansion teams. And instead, we've gone through two home games. I won't really count Minnesota as a difficult game. And then we have two home games, one which we lost, one which we won. And then we went on this road trip and came out with a good final tally in terms of points. And that's good. 713-955-0722 if you want to talk about the match. I'm actually going to try to pull up these highlights so we can break down this game a little further. So I don't think I've been able to do that, and I'd be able to do that a little easier if I co-host. Unfortunately, tonight that's just not going to happen. But Villalba's first goal, it's a product of his high press. So it's a bad pass by Raimondo. Carmona, I think I tweeted out that it was Perez. It was Carmona, I believe, that gets the tackle to push the ball forward back into the Real Salt Lake defensive half. Gets the ball to Almiron. He takes it into the final third. He gets a shot, goes off of Raimondo, who, you know, regathers himself, saves Villalba's first shot, and then the third shot that ultimately goes in by Villalba for his fourth goal of the season. The second goal is Assad. I'm going to have to look that one up, which might take some time, so we might skip it. But, the second goal is Assad, and it was a good one. It was one that I thought was better than the first. But when you're looking at how these goals are scored, you know, they're a product of bad pass, well, not necessarily bad passes, bad control in the defensive third by Real Salt Lake, and Atlanta United taking advantage of Real Salt Lake's mistakes. So it's Almiron that takes the ball off of one of the Real Salt Lake defenders who has been, the ball has been passed to him by Raimondo. So I won't blame Raimondo on this one. But as soon as he loses the ball, Almiron dribbles into the box, pulls Raimondo very much into him, and just slots the ball, gives him a flat pass into the middle of the box, and Assad just knocks it in. It's very simple, but it's a product of his high press. It's a product of being in Real Salt Lake's face. I think the one thing that was really beneficial to Atlanta was Real Salt Lake didn't do the same. Real Salt Lake, their high press was kind of a mild high press, a reserved high press, where they were more or less mid. They were at that line that would cross you into, that would put you into the final third. They were at that line, and that's basically as far as it would go. So as long as the back line didn't really meet them, Real Salt Lake wasn't gonna, you know, go after them that far up the field. they were going to let them have that defensive third to kind of pass the ball around. And I think that was the difference. Now, that could have changed a lot of things because you open up the field a little more like that. And at times it was this way. At times it did look like a basketball game, as you probably heard Darren Neal say on the broadcast. It did look like a basketball game where it was just back and forth, especially toward the end of the game. But the first two goals very much a product of how this team plays. And so I'm not going to – normally you'd say those kind of goals are ugly goals. They aren't goals that, you know, you're going to see every day. You know, they're a product of they may be a product of luck because of the, you know, losing possession that far back, you know, in the defensive third, stuff that you would hear in any other league, you know. But that's a product of how Atlanta United plays. Looking at his final Brandon Vasquez goal, it's great vision, great intelligence by Brandon Vasquez. The reason everyone else thought the play was dead is because, and I can't see based off this, but one of the Atlanta United players, I want to say it's Kratz, I'm not 100% sure, but one of the Atlanta United players is either fouled or looks like they got fouled hard because he lands face first, and I guess all the Real Salt Lake players kind of stopped when that happened. Or maybe they heard a whistle, I don't know. But Julian Gressel, with that through ball, Brandon Vasquez runs onto it. I have no idea what this mustache keeper's name is, but doesn't do – I don't know if he also is waiting for the whistle. But Brandon Vasquez does a great job of getting around him, slotting the ball home for the third goal in about 2 minutes of play. And you know everyone's excited because – the rest of his team kind of acted like he had just scored in the World Cup. You know how they all come to the sideline, they all jump on each other, and it's a big deal because it's a World Cup goal and all that good stuff. I'm trying to see who it was, but Perez that jumps on the entire pile. I think it's Aronowitz, actually. But he is horizontal on the entire pile. 713-955-0722. If you want to get on the broadcast, give us your thoughts as to what went right, what was bad, what was ugly. I think we all know the final 15 minutes or so was ugly. You've heard already on the broadcast a few times. But either way, it's a good win. Jensen Brock on Twitter saying that the Brandon Vasquez goal was a thing of beauty. It reminded me of Joseph Martinez's goal. Any one of them, I guess. The way he ran onto it, the way he continued playing, the way he, you know, stayed onside and ran onto that ball, looked great. Looked very much like a veteran move, and he's only 18. I don't know if that's something we're going to look forward to in the future. Maybe next week we'll see Brandon Vasquez start instead of Kenwin. I think Kenwin. I will say about Kenwin, he didn't look great tonight, but I don't know if it was a product of his abilities or if he was just so tightly guarded that he couldn't do – as soon as he got the ball, basically every time he got the ball, even if it was he was trying to hold the ball up, there was someone on his back and there was another one closing in very quickly. I think they knew that that's how they wanted to get this offense going. They wanted to get the attack going, and they tried to stifle it in the middle as much as they could. Because nothing really – Kenwin was almost – unnoticeable. He was, you forgot he was on the field sometimes because that's how little the ball was played to him or through him. It was very much, you could have taken him off the field. You wouldn't have seen a difference. The only benefit he brought really in this game was that he was occupying the attention of, another defender. I don't think that is an indication of the kind of player we can expect him throughout the year. I think this is just a bad game for him. And I think it's a team that knew it was going to try to go through Kenwin, and when that didn't work, Atlanta United had to find a different way. That's fine. Because it's not always going to be perfect, even with Joseph Martinez in the game. I mean, you saw it against New York. I mean, that was the first game, so it's, you know, we can put a little asterisk next to it. But even in the first game, you saw Joseph Martinez, and he wasn't as sharp as he turned out to be in the next game or the games after that. One thing I will bring up that did bother me was the lack of cards, especially after Atlanta United gets hosed in the last two games with some of the cards they picked up. In this game, there seemed to be a lot let go. There seemed to be a lot of potential bookings that just didn't happen. I don't know why. But there was the Beckerman handball, for one, I didn't think was a yellow card. But he got it, so whatever. Then he goes, and I think it's Almirón. Yeah, he basically shoulder checks Almirón. Assad got shoulder checked by, I forget who, but one of the defenders for Real Salt Lake. There were a few other moments where I thought, okay, that there was a tackle from behind that was like, oh, that I think could have been a straight red. I'm not defending MLS officiating or pro referees or anything like that, but officiating in soccer is too subjective because you have the same conversations in Champions League. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the same conversations in English soccer that we have here in American soccer, whether it be the national team or officiating, whatever it is. I hear the same conversations in podcasts from both countries, in radio shows from both countries, and I listen to a lot of them. But in this game specifically, I thought if you're going to stay consistent with what has transpired, especially the last 2 weeks, I think there could have been at least, I think Beckerman should have been off. I think Carmona could have been off. I think there could have been a lot more yellow cards. Thankfully, we ended the game with 11 players, and that's all I really care about. Because that means the only one I worry about is Can and his accumulation, because we haven't seen Rainish. Tambakis, while it would be a good story, I don't know if he's ready for MLS yet. Not because he's not technically, he doesn't have the technical ability, but I don't know if we haven't seen him play in the last 6 months, I want to say. I don't know what he's got. I haven't watched him in practice. 713-955-0722. We got about 10 minutes left in this post-game show. I'm sure a lot of you guys are already asleep, so you're going to listen to it via podcast later on. I'm going to actually try to get a guest late here in the show, if possible. Try to work that as I talk to you guys. But if you want to get your thoughts on tonight's broadcast, if you're someone that's listened for a while and hasn't called in yet, call in. We love first-time callers. Big fan of first-time callers here on the podcast. Let us know that we're doing a good job. Let us know that you're listening. And we want to share. We do this podcast for you guys. So, but again, that number is 713-955-0722. If you want to get on the podcast, final 10 minutes or so. And we'll get your thoughts. I think for me it was the defending. The defending was so good today. I thought you had one hiccup in the goal they scored, which wasn't so much it was just a lucky shot. Honestly, it was a shot from distance that had to go through, I want to say two or three players, and I think caught Can off guard more than anything. To me, I was more upset with not so much the shot, which I think could have been avoided, but not so much a shot. It was the way that everything led up to that shot. It was losing possession in the midfield. It was the defending in the midfield that led to their opportunity outside the box. It was the fact that, and I forget who scored it, but off the top of my head, but the fact that he had as much space as he had, that no midfielder, that no center back could close down on him as quickly as because he didn't take, it wasn't a quick shot. It wasn't he didn't take his time either, but it wasn't that quick of a shot. You could have closed down the angle or made it a little more difficult. And that didn't happen. Atlanta United naming Carlos Carmona the man of the match. I'm okay with that. I think Perez had a better game. I think Carmona, I like to see how they kind of come up with these things. What the criteria is. I'm sure it's somewhere. But Carmona was fine. Carmona did a lot defensively. He wasn't asked to do a lot in the attack. I think him, Lorenowitz was a, I'm curious as to why he started over Gressel. And someone mentioned it, I forget if it's on Twitter or in the group chats we have at Dirty South Soccer, but Gressel has seemingly not necessarily regressed. That's not the word I want to use, but in the last game, he didn't look his strongest. He gave the ball away a little. He gave the ball away a lot on most of the possessions going forward. And tonight, his passing just didn't look sharp. And I don't know if it was because he was brought into the game late and he was expected to just kind of help defensively more than anything, but his passing wasn't great. Not great. But yeah, overall the defending was great to me. That was if I could give the entire back line a man of the match or a position of the match, that's it. Because they looked awesome. I think that's the strength of our team right now. I think the attack is a very close second. But, you know, what's the old adage? Defense wins championships. You know, NYCFC can score a lot of goals, but they're going to give up a lot of goals. And that's the one thing we heard about Atlanta United when they first formulated this team and toward the beginning of the season, is that we were going to, especially from a guy like Darren Eales, we were going to score a lot of goals and we were going to give up a lot of goals. So far, we've just scored a lot of goals. Not even that, not even like overly a lot, but just enough to get the wins. I think right now we're looking at 17 goals for, 8 goals against, a 9-point goal differential. I think that's how you say it, which I want to say is the most in the league right now. So we're doing good defensively. We're good doing well on the attack, and we're a brand new team. I mean, we're going to shock the world, I think. I think that Atlanta United is going to be a team, especially towards the middle of the season. People are going to be like, oh, my gosh, this team is so hot right now. And you got to remember that if Seattle taught us anything last year, it's not how you finish the season, it's how you end the season. And having 7 out of the last 10 games at home is going to be huge. And that's where the fans come in. Got to be packing out Bobby Dodd, Mercedes-Benz, or wherever we end up playing. Anyway, I had thrown out that Carmona's the man of the match. And one of the responses, he kept going on. Oop, I lost it. Kept going on with reckless tackles. Oh, I can't find it now. Reckless tackles. You know, he did get the card. Here it is. Going in with reckless tackles and very nearly got a second yellow. And then this person says Assad or Parkhurst. I don't know if Assad or Parkhurst. Again, I think Perez. Perez or Adamidon. I don't care who. I don't care which one, but Perez or Adamidon. Chris Winkler, one of the Atlanta United communications guys, tweeting out that it's another game with Atlanta United scoring the first goal. 6th time in 7 games. Only game they didn't score first was the 0-0 draw in Seattle, which obviously saw no goals. That one of the main keys in every game for me is going to be scoring early and finishing your chances early. Because Atlanta United seems to get a lot of the chances. They seem to get a lot of chances early, and they seem to miss on most of their chances early. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to hit on every single chance, but you're asking for, you know, 25 to 50% conversion rate on those early chances. Let me find some more tweets I can talk about. Yeah, I can't get over this Brandon Vasquez goal. It's really a thing of beauty. The pass from Assad to Adamidon, the first goal on Tito's goal, was great. I mean, turning teams over in the midfield and creating, or in the defensive third and then creating something out of it is big. I mean, it's not many teams can do it. Red Bulls don't even do it that often, and they are known for playing this high press style of offense or having this high press attack. And it seemingly looks like we have done that enough to make it noticeable, that to be a staple of the team, if you will. It's the way this team's going to play, I think. And they're going to be good at it because they have the quality to put these passes together in tight situations. There's a number of times you see where they'll string together three or four passes around one specific player to get out of a bind. That's going to be something we're going to be able to look forward to, you know, in the future. That's how there's a lot of teams that try to do that and then don't do that well and give up goals on the other end. And that's where I give a lot of credit to the front office of Atlanta United being able to find quality MLS veterans, quality international defenders, and then the DP guys that they brought on. Again, I'm nitpicking a guy like Tito Villalba, who's scored 4 goals already in the very early season. And we haven't seen anywhere near the best out of him yet. That's the great thing about this match, is that we did not get the greatest performance out of Atlanta United, but we did get the win. We got the result. We got goals. We found ways to put the ball in the back of the net. And with guys like Tito, with guys like Assad, you know, they're converting on their chances even without playing at their best, you know? So, Jason Longshore from the broadcast crew at 929 The Game is going to jump on with us for a little bit. Final thoughts about the match. I mean, he was calling the game. He was the color commentary, did the color commentary, and obviously had a great account as to what happened in that match. He's going to jump on with us here in a few minutes to talk about it, get his thoughts, and really discuss how Atlanta United was able to hold on, if you will, because toward the end it did look like they were trying to hold on. That's why this 3-1 scoreline isn't going to be indicative of how this game went, because they truly did try to hold on to this game at the end of the match, and they succeeded, which hasn't happened in 2 other games before that. I think this is Jason. Let's jump to Jason Longshore, color commentator for 99 The Game broadcast of Atlanta United matches. Jason, how's it going?
It's going well. Going a lot better after 3 points, eh?
No kidding. Talk about that match, because it wasn't the prettiest game, but we got the result. We finished this road trip on a high. It's ultimately a positive road trip, even from the Atlanta United perspective, where they only hope to come out with – sorry, not only hope, but they wanted to come out with at least 4 points. They came out with 5. And it wasn't pretty tonight, but they got the result.
It's one of those things. I mean, it was a really disjointed game, and just it felt like it never really got going. Every time it feel like there was some rhythm to it, it would fall apart. There'd either be an injury or just a bunch of fouls, just choppy play. But the thing is, these are the types of games that really good teams win. And it's a statement for Atlanta United that they were able to find a way through this. They didn't really have it tonight. I mean, you could really say that this might have been their worst performance of the season, but they found a way to get it done, and that's what the best teams do.
It was 2 goals basically converted off of turnovers in the midfield or in the attacking third for Atlanta United, and they capitalized on them. And it's, you mentioned, it's not the cleanest game in the world, but converting on those opportunities is huge. It's an important way to – It's part of how Atlanta United likes to play. It's part of the high-press offense, and tonight it worked, at least in 2 instances, more than 2 instances, but in the 2 instances where they scored, it worked.
Yeah, it's exactly what Atlanta United wants to do. I mean, I think the game against Chicago distracted a lot of people, and thinking that this is a possession team. It's not. It was never really intended to be. It's all about generating quick scoring opportunities, and so much of that comes from the press. What I like is that Atlanta is very efficient. They're also very good early in halves. And you saw it tonight where I feel like those quick goals, you know, quicker in the second half than the first, but they threw Salt Lake off their game, and it took RSL so long to get their rhythm back after Atlanta scored that that's it. If you can get on top of teams quickly, then they're playing from behind, and they can never truly get into their rhythm by you jumping on them first. And Atlanta United's really good at that. They've done it from the preseason on.
One of the guys that I have really kind of been a little harsh on, I think, is TW Jalaba. And tonight he had two opportunities to really put this game away a lot earlier than it ended up. And he kind of flubbed it up. he had two moments where he could have passed it centrally and given one of his teammates an opportunity to score. And I seemingly put it on his shoulders, even though he scored early in the game, scored the first goal. I feel like I still need to see more out of him, I think.
Tonight wasn't as good as the last couple games have been for him. One of them, it almost felt like, and we said it on the broadcast, where it almost felt like he had too much time and he couldn't decide what to do. It's just, you know, I think back to some of our conversations about Kenwyn Jones early on and him not really having any rhythm coming into this season because of how little he had played or how little he played at a competitive level. Tito's about the same way when you really get down to it. There were very few minutes of competitive action that he played in 2016. And I think it took him some time to get into a flow. And then he moved up top, which was very different for him because he hadn't played up top since early in his career. And he had never played up top really by himself. When you go back to the early days of his career at San Lorenzo, he was the second forward. He was the guy running off of a main striker, not the lone striker. So very tricky for him to kind of get into a rhythm. And tonight he was just off a step. But I felt like a lot of Atlanta United players were. Yamil Assad was as well, and you can chalk that up to him missing last week. Just the passing was not as sharp as we've been accustomed to seeing out of Atlanta United. And Tito was a part of that tonight.
Brandon Vasquez, the 18-year-old, gets his like first 2 minutes and then gets his first goal in those like first 2 minutes. He is a guy that I'm trying to figure out what his – he's obviously going to be a project guy for Atlanta United to kind of help progress his career a little bit to help improve his abilities and everything. But he seems to me like he's as tall as Kenwyn Jones. He has that same kind of body type. Is that like a mentoring opportunity for them? Is he the kind of guy they're looking at, long term as that kind of a target forward type of position?
Yeah, I think so. He's the natural long-term solution as a target forward. And being behind Kenwyn Jones, I think that's why you haven't seen Vasquez loaned out, is he's learning a lot day in, day out, training behind Kenwyn Jones. And that's what he needs to do at this point. You know, I think the forward line has been thrown off a lot by Joseph Martinez coming in early in the preseason and winning the starting job, and that pushes Kenwyn to the bench. And then that pushes Vasquez further down the line. And then, you know, we thought there might be opportunities for Vasquez sooner when Martinez was injured, but we saw the shift with Vichalba up top. So it's still really just a work in progress for Atlanta United and what they're going to do with some of their depth chart. Vasquez, where I'll give him a ton of credit tonight, is he made the most of the opportunity. Yeah. And as a young player, you never know when those opportunities are going to come. And you have to make the most of every single minute you get on the field. And Brandon Vasquez absolutely did that tonight. It felt like everybody stopped on that through ball because Miguel Almiron was decked at midfield. Everybody stops except for Vasquez and any great finish.
Vasquez and Julian Gressel. Ooh, I forget if the foul happened before or after the pass, but either way, it's a great goal for the rookie. The one thing I think everyone notices is the way they finished the game. It didn't look pretty the last final 15 minutes, but you could see Atlanta United really trying to draw the last 15 minutes or so of this game, and it looked ugly. They obviously last week they gave up the last second goal against Montreal. It seems like they might have learned a lesson from that and at least attempted to clear balls and string together passes the field, but that just didn't seem to work today. The last 15 minutes of passing was so bad.
Yeah, the passing was bad most of the night, and especially late. What I will give them some credit for learning from was after Rusnak's goal, I had bad flashbacks to the end of the Montreal game where they were so deep defending and not stepping out on longer shots, and that's what happened there. I mean, he was able to pick the side netting out from 25 yards, which you just can't give him that much opportunity. So they seemed to at least step out more. The passing wasn't there, but the effort and the work was really good in swarming the ball and making things difficult for Salt Lake. They didn't really get any other great looks on goal. The problem Atlanta was having was they didn't start resorting to the longer ball quicker. And that's something we've seen pretty consistently with United so far. And maybe it's just early on. They're so dedicated to getting Tata Martino style down. They don't want to resort to long ball. They want to learn how to play out of the back. But the thing is, right now, every point matters. And this is a team that should be in the playoffs. They can't afford to throw away points by trying to stick to a style when it's not there. You know, and against Toronto, I think, to the second half, where Toronto's press was causing a lot of turnovers, and they went more direct, quicker, and it worked. That was Tito Villalba's goal to start the second half. Atlanta needs to know when it's not on and when they need to learn faster when to play more direct. And tonight would have been a prime example with Kenwyn Jones and then Vasquez up top. You have a big target guy. Play to him, let him hold up the play, and then get out of your own half.
There's a lot of people that thought Kenwyn had a really bad game. I don't know that it was a really bad game. I just think that Real Salt Lake did a good job of taking him out of the game because you saw a lot of ball. Nothing really went through Kenwyn. It was more everything went around Kenwyn.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a bad game. I'd say an average game. I think you're on point there with they took him away a lot of times, but Jones was getting some flick-ons and some things that he created. And there were times where one I think of, I think it was Vishal. Yeah, it was Vishalba with the cross, and Jones ended up making the first run to the near post, and he pulled two defenders with him. And Almiron couldn't quite get on the end of it, and it was just a step behind Assad. Assad couldn't get the shot on goal. But that shows the value of a Kenwyn Jones is his size, his presence. He's going to draw defenders, and he's going to create opportunities for others, even when he doesn't actually touch the ball.
Yep. Jason Longshore, you can hear him on Soccer Down Here every weekday morning, 10 a.m., right?
10 a.m. 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
10 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can also hear him on the 99 The Game Atlanta United broadcasts doing the color commentary. Jason Longshore, thanks for joining us on the Mazda Podcast postgame show.
Anytime, y'all. Thanks.
See you later. Well, with that, we'll just wrap it up here in Atlanta. We look forward to next week when we play DC United, the battles of the we got to come up with a name for that. At least DC United. Minnesota United is the natural expansion rivalry. And, you know, we know what we have there. But we got to come up with a Cascadia type of deal with the United teams. United Derby. I don't know. Is it weird to say it the English way if you're not English? I don't know. But anyways, it's been fun for me. Hope it's been fun for you. Not the prettiest podcast flying solo, but not the prettiest win for Atlanta United either. Either way, we'll see you next week. I would say Sam's 3005 quote, but I don't know by heart. But just pretend that I said Sam's quote right. See you later, ATL.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.